Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. One of the wonderful things about being part of a community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way that we typically couldn't as individuals. Yes, it's true that impact can start with just one person doing one small thing, but think about what kind of impact there can be when we pool our strength and share the work and responsibility of caring and supporting others. We can have a greater impact in so many ways. And that's what I love about nonprofits and foundations that support them. They go out and they see what the needs are in the community and they come together to provide help and resources. Today we're going to hear about a foundation that was started by someone who was in a position of providing support and protection in the community, but shifted his focus to philanthropy. Welcome to the show today, Sean Mars, founder of the Mars Family Foundation, and Julie Luther, who is the director of ops at Mars Family Foundation. Welcome to the interview today.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. So, Sean, give us some background on your rather unique journey as a police officer turned philanthropist.
Well, it's been quite a journey. My schooling was actually software. I wanted to be a software engineer, but ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be a police officer. So I finished my degrees and I'd had multiple degrees in college, and I said, I want to be a police officer. I want to help people. That's what I thought since I was a little kid. I said, how can I help people? So I became a police officer. I was a police officer in Oak Creek, and I loved some of the job. It's a tough job.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And what I did realize is that my passion was actually changed to, and this is how my life is, in its circle, was I was supposed to help people, but my job was to write software for the police officers to make their job easier. And what was incredible about that is I created a program called Arrest EZ back in the day, and it automated everything they did from paper to the now printing on computer, on the printing from the computer and doing automated bookings and photo lineups, and it was incredible. And I said, I love this. And in a police officer's job is so, it's so difficult, but I felt my pull was to actually help people through software.
Okay, so you shifted into a different way that you can offer help and support.
Yes, I actually retired as a police officer after a number of years, and I started a company that wrote software for police and public and private security. And I found that, and I did that for about 20 years. And it was very, very successful. It was in five different countries. It was in very, very large businesses. And I found at a point, I wasn't as excited when I started it. I said, "There's got to be something more I can do to help people." And it's the same theory of like, okay, what am I doing this all for? And so I decided at that point I want to make a change in my life. I decided to sell my company, and really do something different. So my second half of my life turned into I want to give back. Mm. It's my way to give back.
And you started this nonprofit, this foundation, the Mars Family Foundation. Tell us more about that and what your mission is.
Well, the Mars Family Foundation started because of really my need to be able to help charities in a totally different in a different way for us. It's following my passions, and following the ways that my family wants to give back. And it's been really, really fun because we get to go see the charities. We get to, you know, really look and see what they do. How do they help people, or how do they help animals, or how do they help, and all over the board. Are they part of, some years that we might, my daughter is into theater, and she said, our family, I think, can we have our theme this year of giving back to theater and music? And that was so much fun. So we got to go to local schools that needed a theater program or needed a stage or they needed musical instruments or the local, there's smaller theaters like the Milwaukee Youth Theater. They just need help.
Yeah.
And we were able to see them and it's been so much fun through the foundation to be able to help others through, in, I guess, financially and with our time. And I donate also at Children's Hospital. So there's things that I'm passionate about that I just love doing.
Mm, and how wonderful to get your kids involved. I think that's so important. You started with this idea of think tanks. Julie, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the opportunity to start out at the think tanks as a nonprofit leader, as one of the people that Sean invited in. And at our very first think tank, it consisted of about six of us sitting around a table together and connecting on some of the issues that arose for nonprofit leaders. And so often there are nonprofit leaders who have this amazing passion for a something, but they may not also have the business sense to go to help them move forward in a sustainable manner, or they may not be aware of some of the fellow nonprofits in the area that they can collaborate with or the resources available to them. And Sean, in his wisdom, saw that. He saw that so many of the nonprofits were operating a bit on an island, and he wanted to bring folks together. So, like I said, at the very first one, there were about six, eight of us at the table. One table of us. And now we have just shy of 200 nonprofit leaders in the area. And we get together once a quarter. We have to cap out at 70 just due to space constraints. But we have a full house and we go over a range of topics all designed to empower nonprofit leaders. So we can connect on things like volunteerism. How do you find and train and equip volunteers? How do you utilize the different strengths they have? How do you go about the grant writing process? How do you grow in a sustainable manner? There's so many different things. And while we are collaborating and learning together, we're also networking. We're getting a chance to learn from others in the area. And so we have little bitty nonprofits that come that are just starting out and don't even have their official tax-exempt status yet, all the way up to some really large ones in the area like Make-A-Wish, Children's Foundation, who have been around for quite some time. And they're all there with this shared passion for impacting positive change on the community around them. And we all learn from each other.
Mm, that's wonderful. Well, is that, Sean, then what motivated you to create Charity EZ?
That actually is. When we asked the charities, what are your biggest needs? What are things that we can help you with? And as they started talking again and again, the theme was, how do we fundraise? How do we find foundations to help us with our own mission? And knowing that there's really no really, there's not a really good program out there to do this, to research this data that is available from the government. It's all free information, but the problem is they don't make it available where it's easy to search, easy to find. And there are programs out there. They're very expensive. And when you're talking about a smaller charity, if they had a choice between putting a couple $1,000s into their charity or putting it towards software, they're going to always put it towards their charity. So
right.
My background being in software, I said, let me look at this data. And I can not only make this super powerful, super fast, but I'm also going to make it nationwide. And so we were actually looking at, and one of their problems is that Marquette University has one of the best, or one of the best, was best searches in Wisconsin, but they were sunsetting it. And all the charities are like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? And they didn't know where they're going to go. And I said, we got in contact with Marquette University. We said, I will help you out because we are building a search that's nationwide. We were able to convert all their data. We're able to work with them. They've been an incredible resource for us to move on to creating this program called Charity Easy. And actually, thankfully, because of we've got sponsors from Wintrust Bank, Godfrey and Kahn, and also with Marquette University that allow this software for charities to be free.
Well, we do work as an organization with individuals, and I know that there are people out there because they tell me that they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. You know, when you want to donate either your time, your talents, your resources, what do you do? Where do you go? Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, Sean is going to share what he's doing regarding that. So we will be right back after a short commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Sean Mars and Julie Luther from the Mars Family Foundation. So, Sean, tell us what you've done to further link those who want to help with those who need help, and what does that look like?
Jill, that's a great question, because for so long, so many people are asking, how can I give back? How can I make a difference? And there's so many people that now are retiring, or they just have needs where they monetarily want to help, or they want to give their time. And so we looked at this and said, well, how can we make a difference with all of these charities that are now using this Charity Easy software? So what we did is we built a module in there, and they basically get the charity gets to list their needs. On the other side, for the public side, we made a website, youcangiveback.com. And even when I searched for it, I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's actually available. And it's like, and it was funny, because I took that website years ago. I just said, I love that name, youcangiveback.com, because that's what everyone's asking. Well, how are they asking me? I'm like, well, this is how, it's youcangiveback.com. And right now, if you go there, we just released that this year, right at the Children's Network Miracle Network Marathon. And we said, there are 66 charities in the local area, right in the Milwaukee area, that need your help. They need either volunteer hours, they can monetarily use your help, or even if you have skills. And if you're, let's say you have, you do something in computers, or you just want to donate your time, this is where you can go. You just literally go to youcangiveback.com, find local charities in your area of interest, and help them. Especially if you have a child that's in high school and they have to donate hours. If there's things that there's always the local church you can go to, but if they don't have anything, where do you go?
Right. Or organizations, like we do give back days, where oftentimes it's somebody that I've interviewed on the radio. They've expressed a need, whether again that's time, talent, or resources, and we like to step in. And so maybe there's a corporation that has a give back day, and you can tap into that youcangiveback.com site and figure out who needs what and where.
Exactly.
Okay, good. So what would you say would be your call to action today for our listeners?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that if there's somebody that you know that is running a charity, they need to use Charity Easy. It is such an incredible tool, especially for helping finding other charities to work with, finding foundations to raise money, and it really is a small world in charity. And this is a nationwide program, but to know that there's foundations across the country that have been given to exactly what you do, and they never knew about it. So this is opening doors that they probably have never had, and it makes it super easy. And so the big thing with all this is we want the charities to jump on with Charity Easy. We want them to use the program itself, but we also want them to put their needs in. So I want this program, that youcangiveback.com, to grow. I would love to see this as a nationwide program that from the public, they can look for local charities and say, how can I help? And I love helping animals, or I love helping special needs. I have a weekend and I'm visiting Arizona and I want to donate my time. So what is going on? What are the events going on? And right now it's in Wisconsin. And I and really, with the word of mouth and the, you know, just getting out there with the marketing, because it's a free program, and thanks to the sponsors, which I think are fantastic. But the big thing is really getting it out there so people are using the program and sharing and giving back, because you see time and time again, people want to donate and volunteer for charities. They have no idea where to go.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to be able to give back, because even giving back at Children's Wisconsin, I love every Thursday, and that's I go to work with kids with cancer. And I asked, if I didn't know about their program, and I found out about their program doing this and building this software, knowing that they're looking for volunteers, and they're looking for a ton of volunteers. So they're on our site, and they need volunteers for every floor, and it's amazing, because I think I get back more than I give, especially when you're giving time. It just, especially if it's a passion of yours, and you just get to enjoy the smiles, and your time is worth a lot, and to be able to donate it and volunteer somewhere is so huge. It just fills my heart. So that's something I absolutely love doing. I want people to join us.
Yeah. And when you plug into something that speaks to your heart, it's so easy to do. I mean, I would venture to say you'd say the same thing. Don't volunteer if your heart really isn't in it. You
absolutely.
Know, if you're saying, you know, I have this time I need to put in. Let's see, where can I go? You really want to have something that matches what you're passionate about.
You absolutely do.
And then does it go the other way? So let's say someone says, I have the ability to fundraise. You know, is there a way that somebody could put in that this is my skill, and then the nonprofit could go out and query on like fundraising? Or maybe
absolutely.
That's a module to come.
That's in there. You can sign
great.
Up an account. You can say, these are my skills, and they're all related to charities. So you can say, and there's all these different categories. So when you say, I can help with marketing, or I can help with IT, or I can help with fundraising, and charities that are looking for that will find you. And
okay,
it's,
so it goes
basically
both ways.
Both ways, yes.
Wow, that's really great. Wow, okay. So how can our listeners help Charity Easy gain traction? I mean, you had mentioned you wanted this to be all over the country. How can our listeners help with that?
The biggest way we have found is word of mouth. Because when people hear, oh my gosh, there's this great new software out there, and it's free. And as soon as they hear free, they're going, oh, it's a piece of junk. Mm. The problem is, these charities, I understand these charities don't have huge budgets. And that's why we did this with the sponsors. And I'll say them again, because I love how they're doing this. Wintrust Bank and Godfrey & Kahn and Marquette University are sponsoring this. They're the ones that are helping you and helping all these charities. So what we want to do, and it'd be pretty disappointing to make something so amazing and not have charities use it.
Yeah.
And that's where the more we have, they're able to use it, the better the system's going to be, especially when people are able to search for, I want to help and I want to give back. And that's how you have to be part of Charity EZ in order to be part of youcangiveback.com as a charity.
Okay. And I think that is so important, advocacy of these small, organic, grassroots nonprofits. Because as you said before, not all of them have marketing dollars,
right.
Or dollars for to build an infrastructure. And so that's why we're doing this show. I mean, we're giving opportunity to nonprofits, small and large, and foundations to get the word out about what they do. And then you, the listeners, after you hear the call to action, maybe it aligns with your goals, maybe it speaks to your heart, and then you can act on that. So if someone wants to help or be helped by Charity EZ, how do they reach you?
The best way is to go to charityez.org and contact us. And whether it's for specific help with utilizing Charity EZ or youcangiveback.com, or if it's a nonprofit leader in the area that is needing connection, just reach out to us. We are here to help. That is our whole mission and purpose, is to help empower nonprofit leaders. So both Sean and I spend a lot of time talking with different nonprofit leaders. We will visit at their sites. We'll help brainstorm, help connect them in any way that we can. So if there is a nonprofit leader out there looking for support, to encourage them to reach out and to create an account on charityez.org. And with questions, they can do a contact us through that. And I should mention, it's charityez, the letter E, the letter Z.org.
Okay. And so is there a phone number? Is there a Facebook page? Is there other ways that people can get you?
Yeah, you can also reach us through Facebook at Mars Family Foundation. Not the candy bar, but Mars Family Foundation on Facebook. And you can reach us that way as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here, Julie and Sean from the Mars Family Foundation, to share all the great ways that you're making an impact in the community. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you're doing for the community and connecting us. It's appreciated.
You're certainly welcome. Well, we talk a bit about collaboration and how important that is for any organization to further enhance or extend the services that they offer. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, we're going to learn about one that the Mars Family Foundation works closely with to accomplish their mission. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Doris Feider Schlenvogt from Ozaukee Christian School. Welcome to the show today, Doris.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, collaborating with people and organizations that share your mission and your passion is a great way to extend and or enhance how you're trying to make a difference in the world, starting within your own community. So before you tell us how you and Sean got connected, tell us first about Ozaukee Christian School. How did you guys get started? What's your mission and your vision? And then what's your role in the organization, and why do you do what you do?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. This
is very exciting. Our mission at Ozaukee Christian School is to be in partnership with parents and churches. We integrate faith with learning using biblical principles to capture each student's heart and mind for Christ. And our vision is to cultivate the next generation to impact the world for God's glory. I have been a part of the school now 21 years. I started when I walked in with two of our children as they entered the school and were there many years. As I walked through the building, I noticed an unused library. And you have to understand, one of my children was adopted from Romania and he did not know English. So I spent very much time reading to him and our daughter. And I have always loved to read. So when I'm walking through the school and seeing this library sitting there, I thought, this could be a beginning of a volunteer position for me. And I took that library and cleaned it, reset it, moved it forward. And 21 years later, I'm still the school librarian. We probably had around 400 books that day, and today we have 7,780.
Wow.
We are not part of the school budget. And it's been a wonderful ride, and it's been my longest and most happiest place for me to be in the school.
Wow.
That's
really something.
Yes.
You saw a need.
Yes.
And
dove
you
right
provided
in.
An answer. Yeah. Okay. So give us a little bit of history then about the school.
Okay. Ozaukee Christian School started 34 years ago, and we were in a variety of buildings over time. But the last 4 years, we have been in our own building that we purchased. And ironically, it was a former strip club.
strip club turned Christian
yes,
school.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. That's
the one and only, I think. I was with two other board members and our head of school when we walked through that building the first time. When we got through the building, we actually ended up by the strip pole, and we were looking at each other with eyes wide open. But believe it or not, we knew this is where we needed to be. We had looked at many buildings, and there was always something not right. Wrong size, wrong location. This is on a main drive. There's parking lot. The building was a great size. So we knew by the time we left there, we started prayer and we just kept moving forward. On the downside, it was filthy. It needed complete remodeling. And the owner, when we approached him on purchasing it, wanted thousands and thousands and thousands more dollars than we could offer. And quite honestly, at that point of our journey, we had no money for buying a school. So after much prayer for guidance, we started the long walk toward ownership. It took a couple years, but God provided everything we needed, from a loan to lunchroom tables to furniture and desks and even beautiful library bookshelves. And we just walked really, really faithfully in unity and open-minded to the Lord's leading. And seriously, it's a story only the Lord could write.
I was going to say, God does have, he can be humorous at times, right?
Yes.
He can turn what one might think can't be turned around and turn it around, right?
Yes.
So tell us then how you and Sean got connected.
Okay, so at this point now, we want to buy this building, but we don't have any money. So we talked as a board all the time. We were getting together, and we realized we needed to write grants and get some funding. Now, I had never written a grant before, so I am technically self-taught. I literally went online. I saw how to do it. I started compiling letters on letterhead for the school and went on from there. I met Sean Mars through a letter I sent him on September 29th, 2020. And at that time, I had asked for money for Chromebooks. We really needed them due to how our enrollment rose since being in the new location. Now it's about a year and a quarter. Side note was, this is happening right before COVID. So we really needed those Chromebooks more than we even knew at the time. So I reached out to him. He came, like, he literally got back to me in 5 days, which never happens when you write a grant. And we met over at the school. We showed him the place. And long story short, he set up a way for us to have a matching grant with him. And all of this was being done when we do one fundraiser a year, which is an apple pie fundraiser. And during that, we did this fundraiser, which we met his match and exceeded it. We were able to buy all the Chromebooks we needed and more things for the teachers so that we were prepared for being closed in 5 months. Mm. But since then, I have been able to work with Sean in multiple ways. And for me, as the grant writer, having Charity EZ is amazing. Honestly, in the past 2 months, I have received 4 grants from brand new donors for our school.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about the students. How has the school grown?
Oh, okay. Well, when we started, we had 43 students, and right now we're at about 140. We will be full at the end of the school in a week, so we know we have to build on. So we are building on one room right now, and that way we'll cover ourselves for the next school year, and from there we may have to build on again.
Okay. Well, that'll be a good thing.
Yes.
That's a proof of impact,
yes.
Right? That's a good story.
Yes.
Well, I understand you offer some really great things to your students, many of them because of these grants, including sports and other fun activities.
Yes. Since moving into the building 4 years ago, we had cross country, we still have that, basketball. We had a creation experience where people came in from Creation Experience Company and did a day activities with the kids all through the building. We've met Alice in Dairyland. We take the kids to theater, field trips. We have Spiritual Emphasis Week in January where we focus on one aspect of spirituality. We have service projects. All grades do a service project in our community, because we want our children to learn to serve others, which is really great. We have Math Olympics, spelling bees, all of that kind of stuff. But we do have goals. We want more sports and more music We try to move methodically forward every year. If we can add one thing a year, then we've added one more thing for our students.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, talk to us a little bit more about these grants that you've written and received.
Okay. I'm always trying to write for the most important things we need, right? That's what you do. But I have written things for some kind of quirky things in the past. In 2022, we needed really badly a floor scrubber. And you may think, really? But we did. We have a long building now, and this poor, our poor lady was scrubbing this with a mop. So
Are those called like a Zamboni
or something? Yes, something like that. Yeah, well, I managed to get one that year. And that year I also wrote for a lawnmower, which, again, people are looking at me going, really? But we didn't, like, you can't use a push lawnmower in, we have 40 acres there. So I managed to get the lawnmower that year. I found this Mars Foundation, and through them, I was able to start a whole new section in my library on graphic novels for kids. And I have novels for all ages, because we have a preschool through eighth grade in our school. It's been wonderful. The kids love it, and they are the most checked out books I have, is that whole new graphic novel section, which I keep trying to improve on, which is great. My current and longest grant writing was current. We want to improve the whole safety system of our building, and that's including putting in a speaker system and different safety things, more cameras and such. And I was able to do that. It took 2 years of writing, but through Charity EZ, I'm finding new places to write too. So I do go back to former grantors, of course, but I want new places and ways of getting funding for our school. So it's been great.
Wow. Well, you're an example of just diving in and just figuring out what you need to do to get the work done. And that's awesome. Yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. But when we return, we're going to talk with Doris about grants and the impact of what happens after their students graduate. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Doris Feiter-Schlenvoldt from Ozaukee Christian School. All right, Doris, I'm sure the impact of Ozaukee Christian School seems awesome in the moment when students are at school. But what about your graduates after they leave you? Like, what kind of impact have you seen from them?
Well, many of our graduates are still in college. They're pursuing degrees in a wide range of fields. And many of our graduates are employed in the trades and are highly successful in that area.
And you gave them that start that they needed because you said you're K-4 through 8?
Yeah, we're preschool through 8.
Preschool through 8. Yep. So you really give them a really solid foundation when they're starting, which is so, so crucial. Well, you shared in the previous segment how you got connected with Sean and a little bit about Charity EZ, but can you elaborate on how his Charity EZ site has helped Ozaukee Christian School specifically?
Sure. It's an immense way we can search to find new help for financially for the school. If I'm trying to fund a specific thing, I can search by topic or interest. Depending on what we're trying to fund, I can search in a lot of different ways. For example, I can search library and then search city, county, or state. I also have access to lists of who the grantors have donated to, which is helpful. For example, if somebody wants to support dogs and horses, that's great. I can look and see who they support, but they're not going to give to a school, which is totally fine. I just move on and find those donors. So by having all of that information on that webpage, I can move along and find new grantors that I need. It's also practical because you can find them by location, you can see their application procedures, deadlines are on there, which are helpful. These are all just quirky things that you need to know when you're writing grants. We can also list our needs on their site through You Give Back. So for us at Ozaki Christian School, we not only can find grantors, we can find people who perhaps want to help us.
So, okay, let's say that there's someone who works in a school that's listening, and they are a teacher, or they want to look for an opportunity to get into a classroom. Is that something that they can put in there and you would find it?
Oh, sure. We are always looking for substitute teachers, aides in our school, volunteers to help our students. We're a regular school. We have students who need extra help. And while we do have a reading specialist, we need help aides in our classrooms.
So how would you enter that then in Charity Easy?
In You Give Back.
Oh, in the You
Can
Back
Give Back
portion.
Yes. And I even enter into their other financial things that we need. So you can put a variety of things in there. Teachers, subs.
So if you, from the school side, you could say we're in need of a teacher or a sub. And
yes.
Then let's say there's a retired teacher out
yes.
there that wants to work in your county, for example, or maybe work with in a Christian environment.
Yes.
So they could put those parameters in there and say, this is what I'm looking for. And the two of you would meet.
Connect.
Would
yes.
connect in some
yes.
way.
Yes. We are always doing more unusual things in our school. We're trying to set up, we are enlarging our play area. There could be somebody out there who, I mean, crazier things have happened than they have extra play equipment that would be recognizable for school. But we had a school close once, and they were able to donate tons of things for our school. And we just connected through background of somebody knew somebody. And we were able to really enlarge a lot of, we got really, really nice things for our school.
Okay. So you're
you saying. You can always be connecting with others.
Right. So you're saying crazier things could happen than starting a Christian school yeah. from a former strip club.
Definitely.
Okay. That's going to just stick in my head for a while. That's an interesting little piece of trivia there. Okay. So we like to end our time together with a call to action for our listeners. What would you like to share with them about just in general what we've been talking about?
We have so many needs for a school that the number one thing we ask people to do is simply to pray for us. It's something anyone can do no matter where they are at. We are growing continually. Every year since we have been at this new school, we grow in many different ways. We are seeking to follow the Lord's desire for us. So number one, please pray for us.
Okay. I think anybody can do that. That's free,
yeah.
doesn't cost anything,
nope.
and probably has the most
nope.
Potential for impact,
yeah.
right? And I think it's important that we say how important it is to work with young minds, young, growing, moldable minds, right?
Oh, yes.
You know, to show them how you can help others. You talked before about getting your kids out in the community doing projects.
Yep.
And
they do service projects every year
okay.
because we want that to be part of their life, their lifestyle. And honestly, it extends out to their parents. They can see what we're doing with their children. And it's amazing what our families do over time.
Yeah,
it's
and
a
I
beautiful
think,
thing to see.
Yeah, I think bringing families together to do these things, you know, to bring
mm-hmm.
parents in, to mentor, to support the students, because they're our next generation,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. I mean, we need to make sure that they are brought up properly and,
yes.
and have their skills honed when they're young,
mm-hmm.
right? So then tell us specifically How can our listening audience help you in your mission? What are some things that you specifically need?
Okay, well, one thing, it's kind of a side note, but I wanted to mention that we have a resale shop in Port Washington, and it's called Hidden Treasure Resale. One of our board members 13 years ago came to a meeting and said, I have a great idea on how we can get more money, you know, here in the school. And it's the most well-displayed, tidiest little shop you have ever been in. It's on the corner of Grand and Milwaukee Street in Port Washington. And we are able to help not only the school, but we are able to help families in need in a variety of ways. And we love doing that. I actually volunteer there also. And it's super fun. We have the best donors in the whole world. The things they give us would crack you up. We just stand in amazement at what people give us.
Okay. So that's, what about volunteers?
We do need volunteers there all the time.
Okay.
And you can come once a week, once a month. We are very fluid. And we also try to find a task there that would suit you and what you would like to do. You want to hang clothes? Great. You want to clean? Great.
You want to read to the kids?
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. At school, we need volunteers in every aspect. Even in my library, we're all volunteers. So we're always stand in need of volunteers.
Okay. And then finally, what's the easiest way for people to get to you?
Well, they can reach me, Doris Feiter Schlenvogt, at info@ozakichristian.org. They could call the school, 262-284-6980.
One more time.
262-284-6980.
Okay.
And leave a message or ask for Chris Austin, who is our head of school. She'd be happy to speak with anyone and give you a tour and see where the school has grown to.
Okay. And I'm sure people can just Google Ozaki Christian School.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And we're on Facebook.
There you go.
Yes.
So, yeah, you'll be able to reach out to them. Okay. So
you know, the school is continuing to grow. We are looking at next year. We may build on a wing. We may build a gym. We have strategic planning in place. We also are trying to develop financial aid, a separate financial aid area. Right, we do offer financial aid, definitely. But if we could get a funding going for all of that, it could come out of our budget. And then our budget would be able to accommodate other things for our students. So we stand in need of many things, but we trust the Lord, as He has provided for all of these years, everything will work out great.
That's
I know
great.
It will.
Yes, I believe that 100%.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank my guest today, Doris Feiter Schlenvogt from Ozaki Christian School, and Sean Mars and Julie Luther from the Mars Family Foundation. I appreciate all of you sharing how you're making a difference for students and for nonprofit organizations in our community. So thank you all for being here today.
Thank you so much, Jill. It's
Thank
been really
you.
Fun.
It's great.
You're welcome.
New experience.
Well, you're able to rise to those new experiences, as we've heard. So that's wonderful, Doris. Thank you. Well, if you'd like further information about what was discussed today, you can reach out directly to the Mars Family Foundation or the Ozaki Christian School. And if you know of an organization doing great work in our community that you think would make a great guest on the show, or if there's a particular topic that you'd like to learn more about, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. You can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. I challenge you to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community. We're not called to do everything, but everyone can do something, no matter how small. It can start with an individual and can grow into something really great within the community when people with a common goal or a mission come together. Our guests have shared today many ways that you can make a difference and have a significant impact, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating for their respective organization. If you ever choose not to offer support or help for someone for whatever the reason. Maybe you don't think it's necessary or that it's going to make an impact or have a lasting effect. Ask yourself a simple question. Do the reasons you choose not to do something reflect more on them or on you? And what reasons do you want defining you forever? Do you want to be known as someone who thinks of others or someone who thinks more of self? Do you want to be known as a contributor or a consumer, a giver or a taker? As I said, we can all do something no matter what that something is, and I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated by many. And it's a great way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.